Well, a very good afternoon to everyone. This is F1 India Community Podcast, and we thank everyone who have tuned up for today's summary of last five races that we had. My name is Rohan, and today in our panel we have SJ and Mihir. Gentlemen, we have had six races till now, and one of them being so amazing and interesting, like Azerbaijan, and we definitely gave it a hashtag as well. Hashtag well done, Baku. So, Mihir, would you like to start from Bahrain and, you know, enlighten us about how the season is going on for you?
Yes, sure. First of all, good afternoon. How are you all?
We are amazing. Thank you.
So, yeah, I think we are having a very good season this year. जनरली होता है कि प्रॉपर टाइटल फाइट नहीं मिलती लास्ट टू या थ्री रेस से पहले ही लुइस हैमिल्टन साइंस ऑफ विद हिज टाइटल बट आई थिंक दिस ईयर ही इज हैविंग प्रीटी मच गुड फाइट फॉर द टाइटल हिम एज वेल एज मर्सिडीज सो या आई थिंक रेडबुल एंड मैक्स आर डूइंग वेरी वेल They both are at the top of the tables, respective tables, constructors as well as drivers' title. I think, yeah, we are having a very good season. Also, we had six races. I think pretty much every race was decent race. They were decent races. ऐसा नहीं बोल सकते कि boring थी race. SC अभी एक भी race नहीं हुआ. I think, yeah, Portugal was kind of boring, but yeah, we enjoyed that one also pretty much. So yeah, the season is going very good, and let's see. I think I hope that the title fight goes till the final round, so that we have a banger of a season. And yeah, talking about Bahrain Grand Prix, I would like to say that also Bahrain Grand Prix was such a banger of an opening round. Like every year, Australia mein generally hota hai first round, but I personally feel that Bahrain is much. Bahrain produces great race compared to Australia. So yeah, I would personally like to have Bahrain as opening round every year. And Bahrain maybe last lap तक हमें race winner की fight गई थी. Like Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen were fighting, and there were those track limits and all that issues. But I think Red Bull were fast throughout the weekend. So they probably deserve to win. Also, Max was fast. He qualified P1. He grabbed that pole and started off the season with very high. And he could have won. And if it was not for the track limits and all that, but Lewis Hamilton was also doing decent on that weekend. And it was a good race.
Right, so Max Verstappen attempted a pass on lap number 53, and to quote, Lewis Hamilton won that Bahrain Grand Prix by 0.7 seconds. SJ, how amazing is that? Like, in past years, we were waiting for this, that a final to go till Interlagos, and then we see our champions fighting. But you know, this year it's actually looking up for that. How amazing is that, SJ, that we have an opening where two champions are fighting with each other. I mean, not yet a champion, but to be champion. A seven-time world champion, and then to be champion are fighting for the win. And it went to the last lap and the winner is winning that race by 0.7 seconds. How amazing is that, SJ?
It is an amazing start, definitely, you know. Max Verstappen, though not yet the champion, but he's definitely a championship material. That's why, you know, Red Bull are sticking with him over quite a few years now. And coming to that Bahrain GP discussion, what we are having, I would just like to quote, you know, just one small mistake that in that particular lap of 53, Max Verstappen did pass Lewis Hamilton, exceeding the track limits, yes. But the, you know, a small little mistake which I would like to highlight is, he let him go through on the back straight of the DRS zone. What if he had let him pass on one of the slowest corner, taken the DRS zone with him again? He could have won the race that point of time. You know, he definitely had a superior car. But that momentum which he lost on the back straight, and Lewis Hamilton had the DRS, he went past through him, and Max Verstappen could not catch him again. So, what difference would have that particular thing would have made? In another words, yes. After another point that you made was championship fight going to the last race, to the last lap. It's obviously a dream for every viewer to have that kind of fun. So I think the drivers also enjoy that. We might have that this season. Yes, hope so. But we did not have that before 2016. I mean, after 2016, we have not had that chance. Although Ferrari did come close in 2017, 2018, but they were, you know, beaten by Mercedes hands down. So yes, it's a dream opening season we are having right now.
Let's talk about Italian Grand Prix next. I mean, Imola, we all know how important Imola has been to every one of us. And every F1 fan probably knows Imola for just one reason. And I know, I don't know just why it is so infamous, but yeah. Anyway, Max Verstappen winning that Imola again, it again was a thriller. Whereas, you know, they say that you see a champion by his drive. So, what do you want to comment, SJ, on that? You know, Hamilton recovered, and you know, he recovers to beat Norris in second place. How amazing was that, SJ?
It was very amazing. You know, that start which Verstappen did have on that particular Grand Prix, it was, let's not forget, it was a wet start. All the cars started on inters and few of them on wets. So, it was a very interesting start. That particular pass in that first chicane which Max had, that was race win for him there and there itself. And then the spin which Lewis had was particularly, you know, a kind of a loss for him. He could have, you know, drive to win the race at the particular end, but that spin which he had cost him the win at that particular time. But that perfect drive which Max Verstappen had on that particular weekend sums it up. He is there to stay, he is there to race, and he's not going to go down without a fight, that's for sure. And it was an amazing race, you know, changing conditions, and it was so very nice to see the Imola Grand Prix back on the calendar, back and back again. Of course, we all remember Imola for one reason as such, which occurred in 1994, but other than that, Imola has always presented us with a great race. Always.
Into that, Mir, would you like to add something? Also, I would like to talk about Lando Norris. I mean, he recovered from, I think he was around 7th, if the memory serves right. From 7th to 3rd. Mir, how amazing was that? Lando Norris recovering from 7th to 3rd.
No, just hold on to this before Mihir gives his inputs on that particular race. This is one point which I remembered, which I wanted to highlight. If you guys have noticed or followed back, Nico Rosberg shared a video on how the drivers react when they go into the gravel or they are going to crash, versus how Hamilton did it. You know, Hamilton held his steering very tight rather than bracing himself for the accident and saving him. That's where, you know, the difference of a great 7-time world champion and the other drivers, they learn from it and they improvise. And that's I will urge for people to see that particular video of Rosberg on how the survivor, how they react during the crash. Just that particular point came up. So it's very important on how they react.
Yeah, when you are when you are cruising at around 250 or 260 kilometers per hour, you obviously don't want to crash But if you are crashing, you should all obviously know that how you need to get out of it. And certainly Hamilton is a driver who has been in countless crashes, and you know, he knows how to get away with it as well. So yeah, coming to you, Mihir, would you like to sum up the Italian Grand Prix for us?
Yeah, sure. So as just said, yes, I would also recommend to watch that video. He very well explained the difference between him personally and Lewis Hamilton. Like he said that he just takes his hands off the steering during a crash, so that he doesn't have to fear about breaking his fingers or something. But he said that Lewis always has his hands on the steering wheel firmly, however dangerous might be the accident. So yeah, I think that's a very good point about Lewis, which Rosberg pointed out. And so yeah, if he keeps his hands on the steering wheel, he can probably regain control of his car, or not lose the contact so much that there is a very much big crash or something like that. So yeah, and talking about Italian Grand Prix, I think driver of the day I would tell is that it was Lando Norris. He was just amazing. As you said, Rohan, he qualified P7. He went on to get a podium at the race restart. He overtook Leclerc for the podium place, and obviously he could have P2, but yeah, obviously Lewis fought back for P2, and it was good from Lewis's side also. So yeah, I think there was a point where we got to know that there was Leclerc didn't have his radio communication, and he didn't knew that it was a standing start or a rolling start. So yeah, it played a very minor role in that also. But yeah, even I think the pace McLaren had this weekend, I think even if Leclerc had the information about the start, I think Lando Norris could have completed the move. Probably not in that lap, I think after a couple of laps, but yeah, he could have completed the move, and yeah, very well deserved podium. Just in the second race of the season, he got a podium for McLaren. So yeah, it's just a very good confidence booster for him personally and for the team as well. So yeah.
All right, thank you for that. Amazingly summed up. And you know, you talk about that, and I remember that in this race, Hamilton actually spun. And I think somewhere this contributed his keeping his hands on the steering wheel all the time. I think something that contributed when he spun at Tosa and then recovered to finish second. What do you think, guys?
I think Rosberg put out that point on that weekend, because he personally felt that that particular trait of Lewis Hamilton keeping his hands on steering wheel helped him in that race, because who knows, probably if he lifted his hand off, he could have ended in the wall, or probably he could have ended on the gravel as well. So once you are stuck in the gravel, it's very difficult to get out of it. So he made sure that he's not stuck on the gravel, he's not going into the wall. Yeah, he damaged his front wing a bit, but yeah, I think it paid off very well. He made sure that he's not stuck in gravel. Like, if probably he would have stuck in the gravel, it was just finished for him. Easily 18 points or 15 points, 3 away, just like that. But yeah, he was just amazing, and he managed to get the car out of that and yeah, recovered to P2. So I think it was very amazing to see him. Also, Max Verstappen obviously winning. He qualified P3. He was out-qualified by his teammate for the first time. I think probably, I don't remember last time his teammate out-qualified him. But yeah, Perez qualified P2. Max himself qualified P3. Perez had a particularly, I would not say very good weekend. But yeah, I think he's doing good now for Red Bull. But yeah, I probably, for Max, I would say that he had a great weekend qualifying P3, taking the win. And as I said earlier, for Norris, just boosting the confidence for your team as well. Like, just, you are just in second race of the season, you are fighting for championship, and you get your team a win. So that's a great booster for your team.
SJ, would you like to comment?
No, I completely agree with what Mir has said at this point of time. Perez is doing a great job in the first two races for Red Bull. Must have surely given Horner some confidence, you know, to play around. And, you know, when you have two cars, fighting two cars, definitely you can play with the strategy here and there, try to force the opponents in making some kind of mistake where they can take an advantage of. And that is what happened. Eventually, you know, we also know that Bottas did not have a very good race in that. And the Williams, you know, challenging Bottas, the Williams of Russell, challenging Bottas for the particular position where they had the crash and they, you know, somehow claimed they forced to have a red flag in that particular race. Leclerc losing his radio, Norris finishing on the podium. It was a recipe for a very good race. You know, it was a very, very good race. And Imola has always, like I said before, also Imola has always contributed for a very good race day in, day out, every time they have been there on the track.
I agree to that. With that, I think we should move on to Portugal Grand Prix. Portuguese Grand Prix, as they say. Again, a brilliantly managed race from Lewis Hamilton there. I mean, he lost the lead when the safety car came out. He fell behind Max Verstappen, but then he managed to it back before he made a pass on his teammate, and then further he made a pass on Max Verstappen as well. I mean, he did it after 4 laps, right? Yeah, 4 laps after he passed Bottas, he passed Verstappen as well with, and claimed his 97th win. Wow! 97 wins when you think about that number.
It's obviously an achievement, you know, comparatively the amount of races that we are having year in, year out, 20 plus. Remember, when the earlier records, I mean, all the records are set to broken. Definitely, the Hamilton, the records which Hamilton are setting right now are also going to be broken somewhere in the future, of course. But they will take some time. And let's not forget how they are being set. See, when the Ferrari were dominant in early 2000, you know, there were 14, 15 races at the max in a particular year. Obviously, those were high numbers to what they used to have in the 90s or then what they used to have in the 80s, you know. So obviously, the records are set to broken. But let's not forget how many race wins he's having in the bag since in this hybrid turbo era, correct? Mercedes are dominant in the engine supply day in, day out, without a flaw. And they're, without a chink in their armor, they are unbeaten so far, all the seasons. Now, coming to Portuguese Grand Prix, yes, it was definitely a very dramatic start with the safety car in lap, what, second lap it was, or the first lap it was, probably. We had the safety car. And then there was a small crash by Raikkonen also, yeah, which he owed up to.
And Antonio Giovinazzi.
Correct. So the safety car, the way Lewis held himself together, passing Bottas first and then Max Verstappen for the lead, was simply amazing. You know, that this kind of drive, they separate men from the boys, you know, to be very honest. And it was a very well race. Little bit on the not so, you know, entertaining part because of less overtakes that there were in the particular race, but it was very nice. Very few, you know, overtakes happening, but the way McLaren put up and Alpine were doing a good bit of force in that particular race as well. It was very, you know, overall it was a very good race. In terms of viewership or in terms of fan base, it was slightly little boring, we can put it that way. But it was a very good race to watch, yes.
Also, then Sergio Perez actually had his best result in a Red Bull, qualifying, finishing the race in P4. Mihir, I hope you're hearing this one. He went on to get P4. And at that time it was his best result. Who knew that in what future had for him? And certainly he won the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. So yeah.
Yes, he had a very good weekend in Portugal. He qualified P4 and finished in race and P4 as well. So yeah, it was a very good weekend for him. Like, he was just getting adjusted to the car and probably starting in a couple of races. In Imola also, it was a wet weather, so probably it was more difficult and challenging for him. But yeah, as he said that he needs 5 races to get used to the car. And now just look at him. And it's just in his 6th race, he won the race. So yeah, I just have no words for him. He's just absolutely brilliant. He's in top of his career, top of his performance, peak performance. And yeah, glad to see him in a championship winning car. So let's see if he pushes Max. It's very good for Red Bull as well, if he keeps pushing Max and himself. So Red Bull could grab that constructors, and at the same time Max will also have competition. Obviously Lewis is competing him, but to have a competition from a teammate is just different. Is just something different. So yeah, and talking about Portugal Grand Prix, I would like to say that as Jay mentioned, it was a good race. We had safety car and all that stuff, but. Particularly out of the 6, I would say it was the most boring. I wouldn't say it was a very bad race, but yeah. Also, Lewis got his 97th win. That's not a small number. Like 97 wins, it's probably would get his 100th win in this season or probably next season. I don't know, but you can just imagine considering 20 races average per season. This 100 races means like 5 seasons winning continuously every race. So I don't think that's a small number or a small feat at all. Yeah, so all credit to Lewis. What he has, he deserves it all.
So let's move on to the next Grand Prix that we have. That is your Spanish Grand Prix. Happened on the 7th of May. Well, I would like to sum this one up. So Mercedes have been very strong when it comes to Spain. I mean, it's not that Mercedes have ever, they haven't lost in Spain. Obviously, they have. I mean, who can forget that 2016, where Max Verstappen went on to become the youngest race winner. But then again, the Spanish Grand Prix, I mean, we again saw the better of Max Verstappen when he took over the lead and led the majority of the race. And I mean, he got the lead in turn 1 and then he led the race for a majority time, and Hamilton had to pull a 2-stopper there, and then Hamilton coming around and overtaking. So yeah, I would say that it was really a good race for Lewis Hamilton there. I mean, I enjoyed the race. Obviously, the two, one future world champion and one seven-time world champion, both are fighting. You can say it was pretty much like a clash of titans. Mihir, would you like to comment?
Yes, obviously, it was a very good race compared to Spain. Like, har bar yehi hota hai ki Spanish Grand Prix aate hi log bolte hai, yaar, boring race aake phir se. But compared to that, this year's Spanish Grand Prix was just on point. Like, it was a banger. Probably I liked it more because strategy played a very big role. And yes, I always enjoy races where there is more on-track action and where there is more place in strategy, I would say. So yeah, I think Spanish Grand Prix had both of them. Like, there was a very good strategy from Mercedes and there was a great battle on track as well, as you said in the first lap. Max went for that move for the lead of the race in the first lap itself in turn 1. That was a very bold, very calculated and very respectful move. Also, Lewis provided him the needed space. And yes, that was a very good overtake from Max. And for Lewis, I would say that Mercedes played very well. Lewis himself went for that second pit stop, and the stint afterwards he did was just amazing, on point. एक टाइम था रेस में ऐसा जब मैक्स लीड कर रहा था, लुइस वाज कैचिंग अप टू हिम, लुइस वाज क्लोजिंग टू द लीड, फिर हम सबको लगा कि अभी लुइस नजदीक आ रहा है तो ओवरटेक देखने मिलेगा, शायद लुइस लीड ले लेगा, बट एट द सेम पॉइंट लुइस मर्सिडीज पिटेड लुइस, सो वी आर ऑल लाइक व्हाई आर दे पिटिंग हिम नाउ, ही इज गोइंग फास्ट, ही इज कैचिंग अप टू द लीड, व्हाई आर दे पिटिंग नाउ, वी वर थिंकिंग दैट व्हाट हैव मर्सिडीज डन, have they just thrown away a win, but no, Mercedes strategists were on point, they pitted Lewis, they gave him the tires he needed, they gave him the conditions he needed of the car, they gave him full power, and yes, just saw him caught up to Max, and yes, I just wanted to say that races like this prove that Mercedes are whole package, I would say, like, they just don't have the best drivers and the best team principal, but they also have the best strategists and best engineers. And yes, that's one of the reasons they are so successful, especially in this hybrid era.
Well, it's certain that Mercedes have proved their dominance in the hybrid era. SJ, so I would like to talk about Carlos Sainz as well. Amazing race for Ferrari there. Got second,
right? Yeah, of course. Ferrari,
where Ferrari did not even had a chance.
It, before switching to, I think Ferrari got fans got second in Monaco, right?
Who? Sainz.
Yeah.
Sainz got P2.
P2 in Monaco. I mean, I would just like to highlight something about Barcelona, a few, just to think a little bit backwards. This time, the testing happened in Bahrain. So, people did not have any kind of data coming into the, usually, the pre-winter testing or the pre-season testing happens in Barcelona. So, people were thinking, okay, now we are in Barcelona, so we'll get a very good sample of which team is standing where. And it was very important in that perspective. I think Mir just highlighted a couple of points about Hamilton overtaking Verstappen. I think Red Bull, again, missed a trick over here. Is when they pitted Hamilton, they could have pitted Verstappen as well. That could have, you know, handed over the victory to Verstappen, because they both would have been fresh rubber. You know, I think the Red Bull missed a trick over there. That's my personal opinion, though. Everybody has their own part of thinking. But what would have happened if Verstappen would have pitted a lap later? It would have seen a very good racing fight over there. And we don't know what would have seen.
Yeah, so coming back to... overcut.
Yeah, of course. Why not? It would have definitely thrown a cat among the pigeons. What I simply can put is, Mercedes were thinking uptight. Mercedes were very, very cunning in that pit strategy at that point of time, and they were very smart in outwitting Red Bull at that point of time. And they really thought that Red Bull will never pit again. They would try to finish on one-stop strategy, which they did. Mercedes caught them by their heels, and they outwitted him absolutely. Very good pit strategy from there, from the team. And that's what, separated Red Bull and Mercedes over there. There was hardly any kind of difference other than that. Coming back to what you questioned me about was Carlos Sainz and Ferrari. Well, Ferrari were definitely coming up. They are slowly rising among the ranks. Carlos Sainz, as we all know, is a very good driver. He's in a very good car right now, which is definitely building around him and Charles. And they are definitely doing very good stuff at this point of time. They are building their car around, and they are doing very good. Carlos Sainz, as we all know, brings the best out of the car. And they're doing very good. I really appreciate that. Carlos Sainz is sitting in that corner looking for the opportunity. Somebody misses, he grabs them. Very good stuff. Very, very...
Right.
Yep.
And for the viewers who are thinking, I mean, for the listeners who are thinking that where did Carlos Sainz qualify? So I would like to point it out as well that Carlos qualified P6, and there was absolutely no chance for Carlos to go up to P2, and he did a brilliant race, got P2. So yeah, I mean, that's where I actually found that yes, a Ferrari can do something. You know, I was confident about that. Alright, so moving on to the next race, the very boring, the Monaco train. Holy sh, man. I mean, this was probably the most boring race. You know, SJ, this is a very controversial statement that I'm going to pass here. But, you know, I actually feel that that race needs to be, you know, just deleted. It just needs to be deleted because there is absolutely no overtaking. It's all strategy based. I mean, how are even... I even have a doubt that they might have, the F1 drivers might be having some kind of autopilot thing, and they must have just plugged that in and just slept off. That's how much I hate Monaco Grand Prix, because I just cannot stand it. Nothing happens, literally nothing.
You know, I would take that as a very humorous point, you know, Rohan, that you're saying that it should be deleted. No, Monaco has its own respectable position in Formula One. It is one of the crown jewel of Formula One. It has been there since 1950. Since it has been there, yes, from a viewing point, it's a boring race. I agree. Let's not, even I am disappointed in that particular, this particular race which happened. But to be very honest, see, firstly, we need to understand why Monaco is there. What is its beneficial point of holding a race in Monaco out every year is it brings a class in all races. You know, such a small circuit, there is no overtaking opportunity. But somebody like an old fox, like a Vettel, finished in P5. Somebody like Perez, who started P8, P9, finished P4, right? Somebody like a young blood like Gasly, hold it off Lewis Hamilton. An experienced 7-time world champion like Lewis Hamilton finished P8, well below his rank. Somebody new in the team like Carlos Sainz pushed himself, getting a P2 in a Monaco, no easy job done. Again, it's a very low circuit, very less overtaking opportunity. That is where strategies come into the picture. That is where, you know, teams need to work more, better, to get that extra bit of car, you know, in qualifying. That is where qualifying comes into the picture. This all little bit of here and there, puts a great race. Yes, initially, the race this year looked like drivers are going for an afternoon drive, or somebody is going to pick up the milk from the corner, from the next block. It was such a, it was literally very unfollowing race. But eventually, this race has its own value, like I said, and everybody sees their own value out of the race. So that's my point of view for that particular race.
Meer, would you like to comment?
Yeah, sure. I would like to say that I somewhat agree with SJ. Monaco generally tends to produce boring races. It's generally, as you said, it's a train. But Monaco has its special place in F1. I would say it's a part of Triple Crown, so it's to win Monaco is just something else. All the drivers and all the teams also believe that. So, yeah, I think it's good to have Monaco on the calendar. And especially, I like Monaco for one particular reason is that it just shows how it just enhances and gets out the talent of the driver. Like, it doesn't matter how fast your car is and how fast you are doing on other tracks. You just have to be on point in Monaco. And, yeah, so as they also pointed out that Vettel finished P5 in probably, I think, 6th or 7th fastest car. Aston Martin are not doing so well in terms of pace, I would say. So I think Vettel finishing P5 was just amazing. It just shows that how experience and how talent plays a huge part driving around the circuits of Monaco, driving around the streets of Monaco. So, yeah. And also, for this particular year, I would say the race wasn't so boring. As we said, qualifying was also just a banger. I would say qualifying was the most interesting. Out of all the 6 races, I would rate Monaco qualifying as the best. Mercedes were struggling a bit throughout the weekend. So we had a fight between Ferrari, Red Bull and Mercedes throughout the weekend for the pole. And Ferrari were doing so well. I don't know where that pace came from. Like, generally, Ferrari are faster in slow corners. As in Spain also, in Sector 3, they were fast among all the cars. So, yeah, they are fast in slow corners. And it was expected that they would do great compared to other tracks. But it was not expected that they would grab a pole. The team itself, Ferrari, didn't believe that they had the potential to grab a pole. So, it was just amazing. And, yes, Leclerc being my favorite driver, I just loved the qualifying day Saturday. And Sunday was just a big misery for me. Like, it was so, so heartbreaking that we did not start the race and finished it. I don't know what got wrong. It was the Netflix curse, or it was his home Grand Prix curse or something like that. But I am so heartbroken right now also that he just did not got to start the race and finish it. It would have been an easy win, 25 easy points in the bag. But yeah, huge opportunity got out of his hands. So yeah, I would say the race was pretty interesting in terms of strategy. Red Bull managed to overcut Sergio Perez very well. He, I think, gained 2 or 3 places in that overcut. And yeah, also there was a great fight between Gasly and Vettel when Vettel came out of the pitch. So we also got a bit of a racing there. There was racing in first lap also. Antonio overtook someone, I don't remember who. And Mick overtook his teammate, Nikita. So, yeah, I wouldn't say it was a boring race. It was expected that Monaco sometimes is boring. But, yeah, I think this year Monaco was a bit decent. But as I said earlier, I just didn't want it to watch Monaco after the announcement that Leclerc is not starting. But, yeah, it was a good race to watch. And good to see Carlos and Lando together on the podium. They both did extremely well. Carlos particularly was very fast on that weekend. He also told that he had the chance to grab the pole and the win as well. So, who knows, probably he had the pole, he could also have the win. But, yeah, it's just the things don't fold out the same way as you expect. But, yeah, I think it was a pretty decent race for both Ferrari and McLaren. So, also, as there is title fight going on between Red Bull and Mercedes, I think there is also a very good fight going on for P3 between the midfielders, especially between Ferrari coming out strong this year and McLaren. So, yeah, let's see how the things go in the coming races.
Just a little bit of highlight again at this point of time. Back in 2011, we had a Red Bull winning the car race in Monaco, Ferrari second, and there was a McLaren which was in third position. Again, the only difference is that time there was a German standing on the first step of the podium. Now we have a Dutch standing on the first step of the podium. It was a Spaniard in the second position, and it was a Brit in the third position of the Monaco Grand Prix. So it is a very good coincidence, but again, there were difference of drivers, then the technology was different. So let's hope that the young guns comes out blazing, and hopefully we'll have a new world champion this season.
Also SJ, if you can see this, at that time also the world champion, he was also the youngest race winner. And this year also we have the same. So the patterns are actually coming up, if you see.
Correct. Well, and especially, you know, if we have a new world champion this year, then next year when the season rule changes, if on rule changes, well, it would be very interesting, you know. Let's see.
True. All right, so next, it's probably the favorite race that I've had, the holy grail of 2021 F1 calendar. The best race that we have had till now. Drum rolls, please.
Oh, yes. Dude. We can speak about this race for hours and hours and hours.
Yes, we definitely can. But we don't have much time.
Yeah, I would just like to start the Azerbaijan GP with the turn 15. You know,
Azerbaijan is more like Azerbaijan. So yeah, right now it's actually a Bhaijan
ground. That is what we call in India, right?
Yeah, Azerbaijan.
But then, yeah, I mean, the historic the race has become, you know, and that turn 15 is killing everybody the most after the hard tires of Pirelli. So these are the two controversial things which has happened in that particular race. But I think they need to, if I need to look into that turn 15 of Azerbaijan, and they need to do something going into the next year. We can't have that particular, the qualifying sessions and the races of people, you know. They need to give everybody an equal opportunity. We don't want the red flags to dictate the qualifying sessions in the Azerbaijan going into it next year. So that's something which I would like to highlight starting when we move into the Baku GP. Second thing, Leclerc on pole. Obviously, Ferrari did make changes on that aero side, which would benefit them in the qualifying and not in the race. That was pretty much evident where they finished, you know. But it was a good fight for P3 at the end. Perez winning his first race in the Red Bull suit. Also, Perez became a part of a history when he was the first driver to win in the turbo era for two different teams. How's that for an interesting fact?
Yeah, well, that's certainly interesting. Also, Mihir, I know that you can speak for hours on Azerbaijan Grand Prix, but, you know, we have very less time, so you know, do you want to sum it up in a short?
Yeah, sure. As you said, we can go hours and hours on about this race. It's so fresh in our minds, like the pictures of that podium, Perez and Vettel and Gasly just can't get out of our head. So yes, obviously we can go hours and hours on about this race, but I would like to sum it. I will sum it up quickly. As you said, Perez was just amazing. The start he had was just amazing. I seriously don't have any words for him. I just wanted to point it out that he said, I need 5 races to get used to the car. And on 6th race, he got the win. But that's it. That's what I would say about Perez. Nothing else. And talking about Vettel and Gasly. Obviously, what a drive from Vettel. It was just amazing. All the things that played out for him was very well. The way he carried that stint, the way Aston Martin gave the strategy, all the things were on point. And as I would say that Vettel is the king of the streets. The guy is so fast on the street circuit. Singapore, you take Singapore, you take Azerbaijan, you take Monaco. It just shows that how much experience he has, and he is not so bad as people portray him. Like, he has lost his touch and everything else, but I think he can fight back. He has the potential now also, and we got to see that in Azerbaijan. And obviously Gasly also did very well. That last place he earned in last two laps with a fight with Leclerc, oh my God, what a fight it was. I could also go on and on about that, but yes, I would sum it up quickly that it was just a great fight. He overtook Leclerc, Leclerc overtook him again, and he again overtook Leclerc for the third place. So it was just brilliant. The racing was brilliant over the weekend, and it was a heartbreaking moment for both Hamilton as well as Verstappen. Verstappen missed out on a huge opportunity of that win. Like, he would have extended his title points, but it didn't play out the well it must have been played out. But also Hamilton, after Verstappen's DNF, Hamilton had a great chance to again lead the championship, but he made a mistake, he pressed the button and all of that. But it was a very good race, very good race.
Yeah, and we all are talking about Vettel and Gasly. Let's not forget, Norris finished in P5 behind Leclerc, and Alonso finishing P6 behind Norris. So all the young and old and all those tricks in the bag are coming out, and you know, the experience and the youth.
It's just like I said, we can go on and on about it. We can make an hour long podcast just about Azerbaijan, but
true. The thing is that
we
true.
Don't have time for that.
Not much of time. That's true, man. Yeah.
So let's absolutely. So gentlemen, mark your calendar, because 20th May we have the French Grand Prix. You know, the circuit that makes us go, that creates illusions in our mind. What do you think about the French Grand Prix?
I would say that, as मैंने तब भी बोला ना कि Spanish Grand Prix के weekend पे starting मिल गया था, अरे यार Spanish Grand Prix ये weekend क्यों होता है F1 calendar पे, boring races होती है. But as we all know that how well the race was, so who God knows that. Probably French Grand Prix also produces a very good race this season. So yeah, hope so. Hope for a great race. Let's see how it falls out.
Yeah, so for our fans from India, so the thing is that, and obviously our supporters as well. So on 19th June, there would be the qualifying session, and on 20th June, it would be the race. Both starting at 6:30 p.m. So I hope you all will be joining. Okay, so would you like to do some predictions, Mihir, on that?
You know, I would start with Mercedes coming back on top of the fray, dominating the race probably. But I see a good fight there with Red Bull, especially I think with Perez and scoring points and victories. I think Mercedes are going to have a tough fight.
You know, we have seen a lot of tough fights coming in this season, especially with Max Verstappen going one-on-one against Lewis Hamilton. So yeah, that explains a lot.
I would also like to say that Mercedes had two bad weekends in Monaco and Azerbaijan. Monaco, I think Bottas would have easily got that P2, but it was just heartbreaking for him as well as for Mercedes. So I think there are chances that Mercedes will fight back for their position in both drivers as well as constructor title. They have been good around the circuit, and it's a fast circuit, so let's see. Also, we have seen that in Spain and in Bahrain as well, that Red Bull have the potential to win in normal circuits also. Like I would say street circuits, Red Bulls are the favorite. Generally, they lack behind in normal circuits when it comes to probably last year or last to last year. But I think Red Bull are giving a fight on such circuits as well this year. We have seen it in Bahrain. We have seen it in Spain also. We saw it in Imola as well. So yeah, let's see. Hope for a great fight. And my prediction is that I think for qualifying, I would say that Mercedes are favorite. So I would say that probably Lewis Hamilton or Bottas might take the fall. But yeah, as I said earlier, Red Bull has also a great chance. But I particularly feel that Mercedes are stronger on this circuit. So let's see.
Yeah, well, I would suggest the same thoughts as well, because as you know, Mercedes are really fast when it comes to the streets. But, you know, I've always believed that Mercedes have a very big problem when they come near dirty air. Now for our listeners who are not aware what dirty air is, so dirty air is basically when you are behind the car in a turn. So what happens is the vertices force the car to go back, and because of that you start losing your speed. And to counter that, we have DRS, that is your track reduction system. So whenever you are on a straight, you open your back, so what it will do is it will streamline all the dirty air into a clean air, that is your straight streamlined air, and it will send back, therefore creating a vacuum. And to fill that vacuum, your car will go fast. I mean, I didn't explain it right, but I hope you all got the point.
Yeah, actually you summed it pretty well. So yeah, dirty air is basically when you are going behind a car, trying to overtake. So hot air from that car comes in contact with your tires, with your engines. So your engine and your tires probably have a chance of not cooling down properly, and you might have some performance issue. So yeah, you need to manage very well your tires as well as your engines, so that optimal temperature is maintained. They shouldn't be too hot and they shouldn't be too cold also for a very good performance. So yeah.
All right. So with that, first of all, thank you Mihir and SJ that you guys joined me for this podcast. And we have an hour-long podcast, so I hope you guys who are listening to us will not feel bored. And with that, I think we will be closing this podcast. We hope.
Right. I definitely echo your voice of our listeners not getting bored listening to our hour-long podcast. So hope they'll enjoy it as much as possible. Thank you very much, Rohan, for the opportunity to speak. And it's always good to talk about F1 with our fans.
Yes. It's definitely good to talk about F1 when it comes to communicating and propagating to the fans. With that,
yes, Rohan, very well hosted. Thanks a lot. We enjoyed it very much. Thanks a lot, guys, and to all the viewers also. We are having the race week next week, so yeah.
Yeah, get ready. Mark your calendars. It's
yes.
You need to mark it. Have you marked it or not? It's 19th of June and 19th and 20th of June, 6:30 sharp.
Yes, perfect. Also, we expect you to see again in the post quali and post race podcast. So, to all the viewers, please join us then also. And yeah, we'll have a discussion, great discussion after quali and race as well.
Also, don't forget to visit our website f1india.in. You'll find some interesting articles over there to keep you occupied and to enhance your knowledge about F1 and cars and everything. Visit our website as well.
Yes, there are some amazing series like Forgotten F1 Teams, where teams like Virgin F1 Racing are talked about. I just don't know how to thank every author for that website. It's just great to read that article. So to all the viewers who haven't gone through our website, please go through it. Please keep us supporting and please keep the content sharing. Cheers.
All right, cheers. With that, signing off
on that note. Have a good day, guys. Thank you.